This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, but it's a beautiful day for football. It's a beautiful day for just about everything if you're driving around. Once again, perfect conditions outside, and we are excited about what should be an outstanding weekend. Bob Pompiani with you until 1 o'clock today. Seth Davis behind the microphone on the ones and the twos. Call 412-928-9370, and that will put you in touch with me until 11 o'clock. Our fan text line, by the way, is brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Thank you to number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochrane.com. We appreciate Rob Cochrane and all the affiliates of Cochrane Automotive Group for being a big sponsor of our show. Thank you to PNC Bank, Shandorovich, Shandorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, all parts of our program today. And we want you to be a part of it too. So call 412-928-9370. And let me know what you think about a lot, beginning with Penn State and Ohio State, which comes up at noon today. Within the next hour, it starts. I don't know how you feel about noon kickoffs. I'm not a big fan of them, mostly because of my schedule, which has always been late at night, and I don't want to get up unless I have to at a certain time. And I'd like some pregame time, you know, some time to stretch, get ready, think about the game, and then see it later in the day. I don't care if it's a 4:25 like in the NFL or 3:30, whatever the case may be, or 8. SMU Pitt's in an 8 tonight, which I think is a great time slot for them. However, it's noon, and you can't do anything about it. Fox paid a lot of money. Universities and conferences pay or take a lot of money from those TV revenues, and so you do what they say. And what they say is they want to prop this big noon on Fox, and we'll see what happens here. It's equal for everyone, so it's not that big of a deal. Just personally, as a fan, I think I would like a later start. Anyway, it looks like Drew Aller is going to start. Bo Prabula came in last week and did a pretty good job in relief of him. And Penn State's one of those teams that, while I admire the fact that they've won 7 games, it's always this part of the season that becomes tricky for them, specifically teams like Ohio State. James Franklin is 1-9 all time against Ohio State. Now, a lot of these games have been close games as they go one score into the last quarter of the game, and then things don't necessarily happen in the favor of Penn State, although if you go back to 2016 when the block field goal and the touchdown that ensued, that was huge in that game, and it may need a play like that today to get things done. Ohio State is not as talented, I think, as they have been in previous years, although they still have some very capable people there, with Will Howard as their quarterback, but also their run game is very, very good. They can do a lot of stuff in the run game. I think Penn State has to make sure that they stop Travion Henderson, who's been really good for them, Quishon Judkins, and others that they will use in their run game. On the other hand, Ohio State's defense is good, and I think Ohio State is a team that should be aware of some of the weapons that Penn State has. And they go pretty deep in the wide receiver group, led by Tyler Warren and others. So I think Penn State, if Aller is healthy, they need to be proficient. I think they've had some really authentic new kinds of offensive play calls under the new OC, and I think it makes a difference in how teams prepare for them. Yet they've played a lot of close games, and I give Prubola a lot of credit last week because going into Camp Randall Stadium and trailing at halftime, I think the score was 10-7, it was on him after Aller couldn't come out with whatever injury he was having on his knee or leg, And he goes 11 for 13, 98 yards and a touchdown. He engineered two fourth quarter drives to win the game. They have trailed this year a few times at halftime, Penn State. Bowling Green, USC, and now this. They've come back from it and won those games. That's a good sign for this team. But this is a tough game today. 3-4, there are playoff implications. A lot of people have come to the conclusion that Penn State can lose this game and still be a factor in the college football playoff. I would tend to agree with that. If Ohio State goes to two losses, that would make things a little tricky for them. Although you don't know how this is all going to play out. So we'll see what Penn State does today at noon. Tonight, Pitt and Syracuse. Coverage on the Fan begins here at 5 o'clock. This is a game that somehow, some way, SMU is favored by 7. This game has never played. This is the first time I think they've played down there at SMU, mostly because these two teams don't play in the same conference until this year. They've played before, mostly in bowl games, but they have an opportunity to do something that's never happened before, and Pitt has something on the line here they haven't done since 1981, and that's start of season 8-0. If they should do that, man, pretty good opportunity for them to get into this college football playoff, even if they should lose to Clemson, I think. But that's going to be the marquee game if they take care of business tonight and against Virginia. That Clemson game could be huge when you look about ACC implications. Clemson, by the way, has a game against Louisville, and that's not going to be easy. They're 10-point favorites at home against Louisville. The other big game in the ACC is Duke and Miami. Miami is a 3-touchdown favorite to beat Duke, which gave SMU all they can handle. And somehow, someway, SMU won a game last week despite committing 6 turnovers. You just never see that. That had only happened once before in the last century, that a team committed 6 turnovers in one game and still won the game. And they did. So we'll see what they have today down there at SMU. But that should be a big game. Pitt is coming off a very, very good performance defensively, especially. I don't think anyone saw them intercepting Kyle McCord 5 different times, 3 returned for touchdowns, 4 sacks, 9 tackles for losses. Their defense has just been terrific. And they lead the country in pick sixes, tied for that, I think, with 4 of those. So Randy Bates and his defense have done a pretty good job. The question tonight, can this offense get back on track? It hasn't been very good the last couple of weeks, based on what we saw in the beginning. Eli Holstein will play, according to head coach Pat Narduzzi. He revealed that to Larry Richard on his coach's show here this week. So you would expect them to pick up the slack a little bit. Last week is kind of a weird game because they weren't on the field all that much. When your defense has 5 interceptions and they're constantly giving you 3 of them pick sixes, all of a sudden you're not on the field for long stretches of time. And I think that was one of the reasons why you saw such a disproportionate time of possession game. But you'll take those 21 quick points based on pick sixes, and that's exactly what they did. So SMU, the big question, Kevin Jennings, I think his name is, their quarterback. Haven't seen too much of him. What I do know is that he got injured last week, and he is officially listed as questionable for this game. He's been pretty good for them. He's won his 5 starts that he's played, but again, SMU is more of a spread team. They utilize speed very well, so you could look for that to be part of this game. I'm a little surprised that this point spread is 7 points, to be honest with you. I thought it would be a lot less than that, given the fact that Pitt is 7-0. Now, Pitt has had their problems in the first half of games, too, and they've had to come from behind to win games that they look to be out of. But that's a sign also that this team is pretty resilient. So should be a fascinating game tonight. And then down the road, I want to see Pitt undefeated playing Clemson at home. I want to see what that looks like in terms of crowd. I want to see what that looks like in terms of pregame hype, all of that stuff. That's in a couple of weeks from now. The other thing going on is the Steelers have a bye week. And we're at the midseason point. So if you call 412-928-9370, again, 412-928-9370, I'd love to hear from you about what your evaluation is. I think most of us came into the season thinking if the Steelers could take care of business against what looks like an easier schedule, then they should be in pretty good shape. Well, they've done exactly that. However, they've gotten there, not exactly the route I was going to take at the beginning of the season, because I didn't think they would lose to the Colts, number one, and I didn't think they would lose at home to the Cowboys, number two. I did think 6-2 was about the record they could aspire to get, and they've got it in a very unusual way, replacing a successful quarterback with another quarterback who's been more successful. Russell Wilson was a surprising choice, I think, given the time, only because Justin Fields has done so well. Mike Tomlin went out and said, no, I'm going with what I wanted to do at the beginning of the season. Russell Wilson's healthy. I'm going to go to him as the quarterback. And after a slow first game against the Jets, Russell Wilson loves New York. No question about it. 31.5 points per game in two games against the Jets and the Giants. He's had two 400-yard games. Now, consider Matt Canada had none in 3 years on the job there, two and a half. And Arthur Smith has come in now with three of those in the first eight games. But make no mistake, the second half of the season is where the money is. All six division games are still ahead. So are the Chiefs, the Commanders, the Eagles. The Commanders will be the first up. They play the Giants this weekend. And the Giants, for as decent as they looked at times against the Steelers, especially Tyrone Tracy, who ran for 145 yards, they have not been very good at home. And that's where they're playing the Commanders today. Washington came off a Hail Mary win, which is stunning how they won that game. Stunning how Stevenson was trash-talking the fans and not paying attention to the game, and it was his deflection that went right into the waiting hands of Noah Brown to win the game for the Commanders. So, a lot to going on in the NFL. Love to hear from you again. It's 412-928-9370. And then we get to the Penguins. And the Penguins got a win the other night, which came very close to being another regular regulation loss. They and Anaheim were 1-1. And I got to say, Lucas Dostal, their goaltender for Anaheim, they have a good young team, a mix of a lot of young players with some veterans. But Dostal has been outstanding. He started at the end of last year for Anaheim. He continues it so far this season. He made 44 out of 46 saves, and the two goals that got by him, one was a deflection goal by Sidney Crosby. That was the one that got him in overtime. Without that, they lose the game. And I have to say, Alex Nedeljkovic at the very end of the game also came up with some key stops on opportunities. Marcus Pettersson helped him on one. But without those, you know, the Penguins don't even get to overtime. So you'd like to see them win a game that does not come down to the very end of it to try to force themselves into an overtime for a point. They won the game on a nice play by Sidney Crosby, as usual. He came in, stole the puck, went in, and beat Dostal on a hesitation move. And that gave the Penguins a win. To snap a six-game losing streak, they'll try to build on it tonight when the Montreal Canadiens come to PPG Paints Arena. So what do you do if you're Penguins? Here's my solution. There really is not one externally that you can trigger at this point. The improvement has to come from within. I don't think there's any question about that. The Penguins have got to start playing more responsible hockey. I know that they've been told to do it. I also know that they haven't necessarily done it because their style of play on these individuals is not. It's not their DNA, but they better start to be. Mike Sullivan said after the game the other night, whatever improvement they have starts with defense. It has nothing to do with offense. And that's true. But try to get these players to do it is another story. They get a little loosey-goosey with a puck. They pinch at the wrong time. Pinching is fine if it makes sense. It doesn't make sense when you're throwing a puck around a little bit and you're taking chances, risky chances, that often lead to odd man breaks. And we saw that in the game against Minnesota here the other night. The Wild had so many odd man breaks, breakaways, three-on-twos, two-on-ones. You just can't play that way. The other improvement internally, that has to be Tristan Jarry. There's nowhere to go here, ladies and gentlemen. There's nowhere to go. What are you going to do? You can't walk away from him given all the money he's owed. They won't do that. They have no bailout money left here because they owe too many other people money that they're still trying to pay off. They got to hope that he gets it. They have to rehabilitate him from within. He's down at Wilkes-Barre Scranton. At some point, he needs to get back here, and he needs to turn into the Tristan Jarry that they thought they were getting when they signed a five-year, $28 million deal. If that doesn't happen, then, you know, I mean, you can put all your eggs in Nedeljkovic or Blomqvist or everybody else. But to me, I appreciate Alex Nedeljkovic, but I think he is, at very best, a really good number two. Blomqvist is still undetermined what he is. I thought he's been outstanding when in there this year, but he's under a lot of stress. In Edmonton, when they played that game, he faced a lot of shots, 50 of them. 90 shots were attempted in that game. And that's the kind of stuff the Penguins cannot afford to a young goaltender who's, I think, 22 years of age. So their best hope is that Jarry gets better. Their best hope is that some of these defensive matchups work, and you have Carlson being more responsible defensively, the Tang more responsible defensively, Graves being far more responsible defensively. All these things have to happen. If they don't, then they're going to be, you know, in a situation where they're going to be missing a playoff for a third consecutive year. And we saw a crowd the other night of less than 15,000. That could become the trend. Now, I also thought their losing record, Anaheim on a Thursday, is not an attractive draw. It's Halloween. All these things contributed to that. But the bottom line here is they got to start winning. Optimistic note here, last year they started 3-6 and still came very close to making the playoffs. This year they started 3-7-1, now 4-7-1. So they can't overcome it. They got to just go on a little bit of a roll and be more responsible. So the answers lie within. What do you say at 412-928-9370? All right, I set the table for you. Now I want to get to phones. So I'm going to take a break and line them up. I'm having a computer issue. So Seth, when I go to the break, we'll try to communicate how we do this. But 412-928-9370 is the number. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pump. Getting set for Penn State and Ohio State at noon tonight. Pitt SMU. It's a big day for local college football. Ramifications everywhere. We'll talk about it as we continue live right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back at 412-928-9370, our show presented by Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. And join us tomorrow night, 11:35. It's the Number One Cochran Sports Showdown, KDKA TV. A lot to get into there, but I'm asking you today, what about your midseason Steeler grade? Things they've done well, things they need to improve. What's your second half outlook? Also, Pitt SMU tonight, Penn State, Ohio State coming on today. Joel Nelson is now behind the glass. He'll be taking your calls and providing the updates at 412-928-9370. Let's go to Gus in Beaver County. First up today, hello, Gus.
Every day is a great day for hockey, Bob, and best of luck to Penn State Pitt today. And may God bless Marc-Andre Fleury forever. Hey, Bob, it's always good to talk to you. I can't tell you how disappointed I am in the following people with the Penguins. Tristan Jarry, Ryan Graves, Chris Letang, Eric Carlson, and Michael Bunting. And you know what, Bob? I've watched every game this year. It bewilders me with all the offensive power we have on this team, how it takes us about two-thirds of the game to get up to 15 shots. And then, of course, whenever we do score a goal, within a minute or two, we give one up. But I'm hanging in there hoping for the best, but I don't have my hopes up too high, Bob.
Well, Gus, you know, that's the problem with this team. It is aging out. We've seen it on a number of other occasions. The Chicago Blackhawks, we saw it. We saw it with Detroit. They had 25 straight years of making the postseason. Now they seem not to be able to get back to it. We saw it with the LA Kings. You know, you have to be willing at some point to trade assets you may really covet to get something that can prolong your playoff success. But they have refused to do that. Instead, they've doubled down on it, and that's fine. They've gotten a lot of mileage out of those guys, three Stanley Cups. You'll never look back at this era and say it was anything but a great success. But the problem is now they're up there in age, and you know, I think a sign of the times, Gus, you follow this a lot. Normally, Malkin and Crosby are on the same line only when they need offense at the end of a game. Now, this is two straight games that Sullivan has put them on with Raquel as the top line. If you're going to do that, that's fine, but you better get a lot of production from the guys who are not on that number one line. And I think for the last few years, that has been a problem with this team. Not only that, but as you said, they have made some signings that make you wonder, well, you know, how do you dig out from this? Ryan Graves has not been worth what they gave him. He has to be better. I think Eric Carlson is a disappointment. Would you consider it a disappointment so far, what you've seen from him, based on what your expectations were?
There's 11.5 million reasons why he's a disappointment. And Michael Bunting, I don't know if he's heard or not, but he always showed more than what he's shown when he was at Toronto, when he was at Carolina. And that's the kind of kid we need on this team, a big, strong kid that's quick. I just hope we don't lose Drew O'Connor over all this, and I hope Rusty can get back. I sure need Rusty back in the lineup. But, Bob, we lost Tristan Jarry, I think, last year when they shut him down the last 13 games of the year. He's really having mental problems recovering, and I think he's lost a lot of confidence in his game. Hopefully he can get back on track. That's the key to the rest of the season, along with some of these other things we discussed.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the call. I will say
God
this
bless,
about
Bob.
You, too. I'd say this about Tristan Jarry. He can't be that weak. These goaltenders go through ups and downs. You got to have – and I always thought he was a cool customer that had the sort of the shrug-off ability. not to deepen your problems because of overthinking. I always thought goaltenders who are successful have to have that ability, short-term memory. And yet, if that's the case, they're in bigger trouble than I thought. Hopefully, that's not the case. Hopefully, it's more of a technique thing, and he can become what he needs. As I said, what else do you do with him? People are saying, trade him, release him. We figure you can't trade him. The best thing you can do is play him and hope he gets his game back and then potentially trade him, and then you can get out of some of the money. But he has to tune out all this stuff and just play the way he's capable. 412-928-9370. Bill in Uniontown joins us right now. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Yes, do you think Pitt could beat SMU?
Yes, I do think they can. Will they is another story, Bill. They're 7-point underdogs. SMU has got some injury problems. One of their top wide receivers, we just found out, is not going to play. Their tight end, who's really good, is out for the season. And their quarterback's banged up. So, you know, we'll see. They got to play the game. Thanks for calling, Bill. I appreciate it. All I know is that Pitt, if you're hoping for a playoff with Pitt and Penn State, this is a day you got to hope that both those teams win. And if so, there's an increased possibility here as you get closer to this. You just don't know how it's going to work out. But if they're both undefeated going into the next week, all of a sudden things get a little bit more interesting with that possibility. And quite frankly, as I've said a million times, they should be playing this game anyway. It's ridiculous they don't. Figure it out. If it's Penn State's problem, get over yourself. Play Pitt. It's as simple as that. If you're better than Pitt, prove it. Prove it every day. If Pitt is better than Penn State, prove it. Prove it every day you get the chance to play them. So that's internal stuff that those teams have got to figure out. Let's go to Brian in Brookline. Brian, thanks for joining us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. It's my pleasure to welcome you in. What's up?
Hey, Bob. So, Steeler question. So, I'm not a proponent of getting a wide receiver, and I have my reasons. I think that if we get Mike Williams, if we get him for a late-round pick, great. But these are going to be rental players. Mike Williams is hurt. Lazard is on IR. New York might not trade him. I don't like Slayton. They want a ransom for him. I don't care about Jacoby Myers. He does nothing for me. So why not deploy Cordell Patterson out of the backfield? Why don't deploy Cordell Patterson as a number two? He used to run a 4-3. He probably don't anymore. But if you're looking for splash plays, a guy that's electric when the ball's in his hands, why not deploy somebody like that in Patterson? We have him on our roster.
They could. He's a big guy, Brian. I will say this to you. Arthur Smith knows him well enough. Cordero Patterson could do things, and you could scheme him open in many ways. He doesn't have to necessarily line up even at the wide receiver spot. You can. I mean, he's done some dipping into tight end at times. So there are ways to utilize him, and now that he's healthy, you would think coming back for the Commanders game, that he will be a weapon for them because he's a big guy and a tough guy to tackle in open space, I believe. So, yeah, and to your point, I've said no to just about every wide receiver. All these rumors that started with Ayuk that went beyond him and Adams, and it's too much, and they're not going to play. And quite frankly, if you have a quarterback who is worth his weight, then he will find guys open. If you could scheme guys open, there's nothing, you know, you saw Calvin Austin last week. I'm not saying that that's going to be a regular occurrence with him, but if you get him in space where he can make plays, you put the ball on the money, as those throws were, all of a sudden, those kinds of quarterbacks like he and Van Jefferson and even Scotty Miller can be, you know, helpful. They're not going to be elite, but they can be helpful.
And that's kind of my point, and I'm with you. I don't believe in giving any mortgage to future on something that's going to be a rental, and that's if it even works here, if he even stays healthy. Just to give away stock and draft, I would rather – I like what we have here, and with Russell with the controls, if Russell could get Cordell Patterson and, like you said, Austin involved in a mix and Freiermuth or the two tight ends set, if we could come out with two tight ends, I think we could be okay.
Yes or no, real quick before I let you go, do you bring back Najee Harris? Do you sign him?
I do, because he doesn't fumble the rock, and he runs hard. Yep. He doesn't put the ball on the ground.
I've never ruled that out. Thanks, Brian, for the call. Appreciate it. I've never ruled that out. I think even though they didn't pick up the fifth-year option, that was just them doing business. I looked at Derrick Henry. He was the best running back available this year in free agency, and he got $8 million a year. The Steelers can afford that if they want that. And a 1-2 punch with him and Jalen Warren still is very – now, they're going to have to pay Jalen Warren some more money. That's true. But normally those guys are not going to make elite money. If you look at breakaway runs or chunk plays or whatever one they want to call it, since the beginning of last season, Najee Harris has 14 of those, quote, chunk plays. That's only behind Derrick Henry and Jahmyr Gibbs. That's it. So if he's that good, he's worth that money, I think they would do business with him moving forward. Let's go to Bob in Leechburg right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Just a couple quick questions. First, Pens, and then, you know, Pitt, Penn State thing. The Penguins, and I hate to say this, you know, sometimes you look for all these answers. I think at the end of the day, when Coach Sullivan, after the 2017 season, forced his decision that Murray was the guy and let Fleury leave town through the draft, you know, the expansion draft, you made your bet as a coach, because insert whatever name you want. It's just like in baseball. You have pitching. Football, you have a quarterback. Hockey, you have a goalie. We have not had a goalie, and that guy went on to be the second best in all time.
Okay, Bob, let me stop you real quick. First of all, you could not, if you were, you're one of the few. John Steigerwald was one of the only guys in the media who came out and said it's the wrong move. He looks good right now based on that. And I understood it's tough to make those decisions, but how could you turn your back on a young kid who was costing far less and had won back-to-back cups? I don't know if, realistically, there was no decision to make there.
You say Murray won, but the cup people say Murray won, the first one. Marc-Andre had 9 of those wins,
okay, but
including
he was still
a first-round sweep victory against the number one
seed. Yes, he did.
I would have went with Fleury every time.
Okay.
Fleury every time.
You felt that at
Fleury
the time, too. You felt
and
that
I've
at the time.
I've said it all along.
Okay.
You can check social media.
Well, good for you, then. You're right. Yeah. No, I'm not trying to dispute what you said. What I'm saying is the large percentage of people, and I was included in this, I thought Matt Murray was the proper choice only because of his youth and because he had won quickly. And there was a lot,
and
it cost less.
What was the number? I saw the numbers the other day. What, 172 playoff wins to Matt Murray's 29?
Listen, I understand. Gone south, and whatever reason.
This guy is tenured. He just
there's
beat
nothing
him
you
at
can,
basically
but Bob,
40 years
Bob,
old.
There is nothing you can do about that now. That's coming on. So my,
well,
yes, my
you ask, can. Yeah, but, you know, if you have Jari in there as your answer, he's been failing the last couple of years. What you do, you keep that young kid that you have, and you go and you get the 39-year-old. You play the young kid. You groom him under Fleury. You play Fleury. You make the playoffs. And when you get in the playoffs, you take a run. Because
okay,
you've
let
got
me ask you this.
Crosby, Malkin,
let me ask you
and
this.
Letang, and now where are they going with Jari? They're going nowhere.
Okay.
What are they doing?
Again, it's revisionist history as far as I'm concerned. You can't change that.
No, but right now, go get Fleury. Go get Fleury.
Fleury's
going to
retire. I mean, he's not going to – and I don't think they're going to do it. Number one, Minnesota's not going to do it. Guess what he's doing?
Why?
Because he's the same role in Minnesota with Philip Gustafson, who's been a Penguin and traded.
If they can get something because they already have their goalie, they would take something. You play that Blomqvist and Fleury, you get rid of Jari. That experiment failed.
All right, Bob, thanks. Passionate about his belief, but I would never have gone back on that. That was a Jim Rutherford / Mike Sullivan. More Rutherford had to make a choice. And expansion drafts, they're killers when they come along because you're going to have to depart with some people. They made a choice. I don't think many people thought it was the wrong choice. If you were one of them, Bob, good for you. But at this point, they have to figure out, you're not going to get Fleury. Let's forget about that. That ain't happening. He has the same exact role that you're saying you want here in Minnesota, where he is the complement to Philip Gustafson. It gives them insurance in case Gustafson gets hurt. That was a trade I'm sure Jim Rutherford would rather go back and change, a mulligan, because Gustafson was good. Derek Brassard fanned out really quickly. All right, 412-928-9370. Back to Troy in Mount Washington. What's up, Troy?
Bob, what's going on, brother?
I'm good, thanks.
A couple questions for you and a comment, but first I have to, because you're on here, I have to ask you a basketball question.
Yes, sir.
It seems that J.J. Redick has brought a different energy and a different complete offense to the Lakers. How do you feel about ex-players coming in and taking over the coaching realm? You've kind of seen it in the past 10 years a lot in your industry, and you know Ryan Clark's of the world. There's a lot of guys that are stepping up and are really good in that role.
Yeah.
How do you think the NBA is going to move into that realm in the next 10 years?
That's a good question, but I will say about J.J. Redick, I think he's a common sense kind of guy, number one. I also think this is more on, I mean, let's be honest, they're going to go as their big two go, you know? Anthony Davis is the key to that team, period, and they know to feed him the ball. LeBron James, fine. They have other components to it, but the NBA is a little different than college in that you have to defer to these guys. They know what their role is. J.J. Redick has had both college and professional experience. He was really good from the outside. I think what I've seen, though, is Their sets are moving so much different, Bob.
They're passing the ball 12, 13 times before they're putting the basket up.
Okay, but it still comes down to Davis, to me. The number, and he's off to one of his best starts of his career. And that's no coincidence with where they are. But, yeah, you're right. We're seeing different things, and I would expect that he would use his experience and what he believes works at both levels to help his team right now. But I think long-term, they're not going to be a good team this year. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. That's just me.
And I have a quick comment on the Steelers, but a real question on Pitt. The Steelers, I like what we're doing right now, but don't we just feel the sense that the fans and the national media – that any chance they get, because, you know, we have a tough schedule coming up, but Russell has a couple tough games that, you know, it's just that clamoring feeling in the back of everybody's minds that they're still going to be asking for Fields. It just feels like Russ is really up against it this year. No matter what he does, he can almost, like, not have two bad games in a row without feeling like his job's in trouble. And then for Pitt, a lot of people are talking about, we lose to Clemson, you know, maybe we out. My question to you is, if we lose a close game to SMU, we take care of business the rest of the season, and we take care of business at Clemson at home, and Ohio State loses to Penn State today, how do you look at a team like Pitt that runs the table, loses a close game to SMU?
Well, they're in.
The two-loss Ohio State would probably be above them.
I would say Pitt would be in. I still believe that because of the 12 slots. At-large bids would probably be the way to go on that. I'm assuming they're not going to win the ACC. Are you suggesting in this scenario that they're not going to be the ACC champs, right?
I mean, if they run the table, it's
automatic. But if not, then they're going to have to be at large. And will this affect? If they go one loss, they'll be in. Period.
One loss, they'll be in.
I think so.
You don't think that, like, an Ohio State with losses to two top?
No, I think the second loss would hurt them. I think the second loss would hurt them. I think style points do come into play in a little bit of this, Troy. So you make a good point there. But you know, this is the first time that we've seen this in action, and it will depend on how. People who slot these teams look at their season. If you say,
I'm not too sure. Was both Ohio State's on the road? Were they Oregon and at Penn State?
Yes.
Okay.
If it happens, but I do you think Penn State can win this game today?
Oh, definitely. Okay. I mean, you just look at the line and you determine from there, and it just seems like that. You know, a lot of people are on you know, Penn State and the coach for. What his records put up, but you know, Ryan Days isn't much better. So it's if you look at it against top teams, I mean, he doesn't give me any more comfort than James Franklin does.
Yeah, I agree. He's under. I think both coaches are. I mean, Frank, thanks for the call, Troy. Very good. And by the way, to your first question about you know, Russell Wilson, I think there's no pressure on him whatsoever. I think Mike Tomlin's going to stick with him unless there's a major reason to get rid of him and bring back Fields. I think Fields is just an emotional choice that fans had. Now, will I say that they need improvement in the red zone? Yes. They went 0-for-4 in the red zone against the Giants. So Russell Wilson's had a good career mark in the red zone. He hasn't had that many opportunities so far. But can you incorporate Justin Fields as a red zone weapon? Absolutely, and they should. 412-928-9370. Dave, North Huntington is up next. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Bob, as far as the wide receivers with the Steelers, they definitely need one just for depth, man. I mean, if Pickens goes down, it's over.
Well, you can say that, though. They have about every position they have, and that's true of any NFL team. If you're looking for depth, yeah, and they could probably, and I think they will make a move for depth. But if you're looking to enhance the position, how many more enhancers are there available at this point?
Well, that's just it. I'm with you as far as I'm not going to well overpay for a rental player just to bring in depth. So, I mean, it comes down to the value. I'm looking for someone that may be a pure number two, or at least that can compete for number two, number three. So if something does happen, you have that depth. But, I mean, other than, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't want to see Scotty Miller on the field. I mean, I don't. So that's, to me, why they need another wide receiver.
Well, listen, and thank you for the call. I'm up against the break. They have a situation going on here where Arthur Smith, no doubt, is somebody who wants to utilize the tight end in the run game. If they do that well and play good defense, they're going to be in just about every game. Most of these NFL games are one-possession games anyway. Can a legit number two make a difference? Absolutely. But the question is, how much do you want to give up to get that person, and are there many of those guys yet available? I do believe Omar Khan will bring in somebody at this deadline, but I don't think it's going to be at the caliber of some of these names we've mentioned over the past couple of weeks or months, in the case of Brandon Ayuk. 412-928-9370 is the number. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochran. Shop 24-7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting Roofing. They do a great job there. You can also hear them on the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call here and KDK+. Dante in the car, hang on. We'll get to you as soon as we come back. We have more lines open for you. 412-928-9370 on a beautiful day for football. This is the Bob Pompiani Show in the capable hands of Joel Nelson right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Cranking up the music, Joel Nelson doing that because it is a game day and a big game day for Penn State and Pitt, both playing huge games this late in the season. It's kind of nice to talk about huge games this late in the season because normally that's not the case. You know, I thought at the beginning of the season, realistically, with new quarterback situation, with a lot of turbulence in terms of roster, I thought Pitt would be well suited if they could get 6 wins, 7 max, get back to bowl capability. Now this season has gone beyond that. And there have been so many games where they've had to come from behind to stave off what was looking like a sure loss. Give them credit for that. Tonight, they do themselves a favor with this defense, Randy Bates and company, to come after and make some things happen. SMU committed 6 turnovers in their last game. That's how you beat them, even though they won that game, surprisingly, against Duke. But that's how you're going to beat them. Turnovers and change the complexion of the game. Speaking of turnovers in the Steelers' first 8 games, they are very good in that department. And Mike Tomlin has been stressing that for the last couple of years for sure. Even more so than normal. They're second in the turnover margin of plus 10. They've had 15 takeaways. That's also a recipe for success in the National Football League. As the Steelers, what do you think about the second half of the season? Call me what your takes and what kind of record you're looking at. They have all 6 division games. Say what you want about the Browns. They'll be tough games. They always are. And then you have the Chiefs, Washington, and Philadelphia thrown in there as well. 412-928-9370. Dante joins us right now in the car. Hey, Dante, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Pompiani, how are you doing?
Doing great. Beautiful day. Enjoy, man.
It is beautiful out. Yeah, you guys talked about the trade deadline just a little bit there, and I know everybody would like to get a receiver. I'd like to get 2 players. I'd like to get a big run-stopping defensive lineman like a Casey Hampton. I mean, it doesn't have to be that high class, but it just seems like with Baltimore having 2 guys like 340 pounds, you can't run the ball against them at all sometimes, you know? And that's the one area the Steelers have been weaker in, you know?
Well, in this last game, Tyrone Tracy made sure that he got his yardage. I was surprised how much the Steelers gave up on the ground, 145 to him. And he's a hard runner, there's no doubt. But, you know, I think, quite frankly, to expect a whole bunch of activity here at the trade deadline, Dante, is just not going to happen. They're going to try to get some insurance if they can and move on in that direction. I still think you're 1 injury away from being exposed at cornerback. If Joey Porter, if you're going to use the injury thing, if Joey Porter Jr. gets injured, Dante Jackson's been fine so far. Cam Sutton is coming back. How will that affect Beanie Bishop? But I think they can always use somebody else there, too, as well.
Yeah, they got a guy coming back. That's right. That is a cornerback. So they're getting a little bit of a cushion there with Cam coming back. But, you know, it just seems like that's been their one weakness, even at close to full strength. You know, it seems like when it comes to personnel, you know, I really love what Omar Khan has done, but he seems to focus more on middle linebackers to stop the run, and then Roberts still doesn't get to play really honestly all that many snaps, and he's the one real reliable run stopper they have as an inside linebacker. I think it would be good to have something additional up front that absorbs blocks and makes it a lot harder to move people out of the way, I guess.
Yeah, but I think it's hard to find that person at the trade deadline. That's more so someone you'll find in the draft or in free agency at the end of the season. So,
yeah, well, you're probably right. Well, listen, I just wanted to throw that out there, you know, and I appreciate you taking my call, let me on the air. You have a great program.
Thank you, Dante. Appreciate you calling in. 412-928-9370. Paul in Natrona Heights has done just that. What's up, Paul?
Hi, Bob. How are you doing, buddy?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, good. 3 quick comments on Penns, Steelers, and Pitt. Oh, actually, more of a question on the Steelers. On the Penguins, I called about Fleury, and this is what we have now with the Penguins. You know, this they're old, they slow, They can't skate, and we're gonna have more games like we've been having this year earlier. You know, so on Pitt, their offense has to get going. I don't know what happened, but you know, they 70 to something earlier this year, and the offense, I don't think it's as good as I thought it would be. I'm sure Holstein's ready to play tonight. I know he got injured a little bit last week. And on the Steelers, Bob, what Baltimore's doing, you know, with all that, you know, they've got some pretty good receivers now. What do you think the Steelers, you know, what kind of receiver do you think we're going to get at the deadline? You said the other, you just said a few minutes ago that Omar Khan is going to be doing something before the deadline.
Thanks, Paul, for the call. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
On that topic, I would say it's going to be some veteran who has some experience as an insurance against injury and someone who could play a role, but it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be somebody who's going to be a big name with a big contract. I think we're running out of time to get one of those if you're one of them, so I don't expect that. But again, I think they can scheme their way through the season without having to rely on a number two, provided that George Pickens remains healthy. And that's a risk every team will take going into this. You don't know who's going to get hurt and who's not going to get hurt. Look at their offensive line. Still three guys lost for the season on injury. Now they're getting some guys back here, including Zach Frazier, which is a big thing coming back, although I thought Ryan McCollum did a very good job in his place. This bye week came at a good time for them. Nick Herbig should also be back as well. As far as the Penguins being slow, yeah, they are. And they're, you know, they've doubled down on bringing back the core here and hoping the core for one opportunity. Well, the last 2 years they've missed out. If they do it again this year, all of a sudden that's a problem, because now you're in a situation where another year later, what are you going to do? You can't move anyone. I've said many times, and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face here, that I think the worst thing that ever came into contract negotiation and language is no movement clauses with players. More and more of them get them. It was supposed to be reserved to only the elite players, and now more and more players are getting them, and it really handcuffs the GM. And as far as Pitt's offense, yes, last 2 weeks it's been defensive driven. They've won the game because of defense. The offense has an excuse last week because they were never on the field, but when they were, they didn't do much with it. So tonight's game is going to require them to score some points. However they do it, they're going to have to do it, and that could be a problem. Counselor joins us right now in the car. Hey, Counselor, how are you today?
Hey, Bob, how are you? Listen, even if that Jari straightened out mentally, okay, the problem still is, first of all, their defense. And I hate to say it, it's a matter of want to in a lot of instances, too. They don't play, I mean, Letang, forget it, doesn't play at all. The other one,
Eric Carlson.
Carlson doesn't either. And, you know, you got to get somebody who's going to not let people camp out in front of the net. And they don't, there doesn't seem to be that mentality of whoever their defensemen are.
Well, you're right about that. If you saw the Minnesota game, they had guys standing, waiting patiently to get a puck, turn around, shoot, and score, and nobody was checking a lot of those guys. You've got to be somewhat physical in front of your own net and get guys so that they don't provide screens and certainly don't get there for rebounds, and they've allowed a lot of those. Yeah, that's a problem. But it's also a problem of, I think, sometimes being a little bit too offensive-minded in the defensive zone and making plays that should not be made. The fundamentals are very important, especially in your own zone, to get out of harm's way. And if you start throwing a puck around hoping the puck gets out and you're not sure where it's going and it's intercepted, and the guys are out of position. So I think that's all part of it.
Well, I think the other problem is this. They still think they can play the speed game, and they don't have the players to play the speed game. They don't.
No, they don't. But they do have the players to play the power play game, Counselor. Power play last year and the year before, it had to just be 21% instead of 15% or 13%. If it's that, they get into the playoffs. The power play, regardless of the speed you're talking about, they still have elite players of the power play. It has to cash in more than it's been cashing in.
Well, but I think they're going to have to do something, at least tilt towards a more defensive game.
The question is, are they willing to do it? Do they have it in their DNA? I think they do, but they tend to, you know, sometimes forget about it. But I'm up against the break.
Maybe part of the problem too.
Yeah,
right. He does not have the players to play the speed game.
Well, they made their choices. They made their choices. They've loaded up on trying to make a run here with this group. It's an older group, and it's going to take absolutely spectacular player from goaltending and power play. And if you do that, I think you could get in. And then we'll see. Thanks for counselor for the call. Appreciate it. We're up against the break. Tom and Oakmont, you'll be first up when we come back. First, though, I want to tell you about the weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Chevy Red Tag event, it's now through December the 2nd. You get 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com today. Appropriately, sun is going to be the name of the game. Partly cloudy as well, high of 60, low tonight of 38. Tomorrow, mild with clouds and a high of 68. So this weather will continue. It's supposed to get into the 70s as the week progresses. So that's hour number one in the books. We got Penn State and Ohio State about to kick off, but I want to continue to talk about that game, Pitt-SMU, the Steelers halfway point, whatever you want to talk about. I know Tom wants to talk about the Pirates.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.